Welcome to the Opawa Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to find out more about our church, visit us on any Sunday or online at opawa.org.nz.
Now, I understand that it's virtually the national sport in the UK, queuing and waiting for things. I couldn't stand it. It would drive me nuts. But actually, this is a season of waiting. Advent. We are waiting for Jesus' birth. At the same time, we're having communion. We're remembering Jesus' death. And it seems to me that those two things don't exactly sit together all that congruently. It's a funny thing to be doing that. As you're waiting for someone's birth, you're remembering their death. But I did notice in Paul's write-up of communion, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." It's not only going back, it's also going forward, communion. We remember what Jesus did for us, the forgiveness won, the Calvary and all that. We also have a present sense in which this is symbolic of the fact that we are sustained now by the Lord, by his Spirit. We are fed. But also it's about hope. It's about looking forward to his second coming. Somebody smarter than me said that the Bible starts in a garden and ends in a city. And it's very true. There's something about completion. There's something about recreation. There's something about maturity. We are going forward from something very simple to something much more complex. Adam and Eve were good, but they were immature. We've been taken through to maturity. That is what we have been saved to. It's a foretaste of the riches to come. This is not a banquet, or it's not my idea of a banquet. It's at best an hors d'oeuvre. Now, I went to a restaurant a little while ago and they handed me that. Apparently it's called a slider. It's about this big. And I looked at this on the plate and I thought, oh, I have eight of those things. But they didn't come in that. But then you can go and you can get a double whopper with cheese and onion rings. Have a look at this thing. I'm just in awe. We need to take a moment just to sit with it. That's 350 kilos of burger. It brings a tear to my eye. It really does. Wonderful thing. So, past, we look back to the cross. Present, it's about sustenance. Future, it's about hope. And I've been looking at Psalm 130. I'd like to invite you to read with me, and if you could say the bold, "My hope is in." "Out of the depths I have called to, Lord, hear me. My hope is in God's love. If you recorded all our sins, who could come before you? My hope is in God's forgiveness. There is forgiveness with you, therefore you shall be feared. My hope is in God's word. I long for the Lord more than those who watch for daybreak. My hope is in God's constancy. God's people wait for the Lord, for with him there is mercy. My hope is God's salvation." Let's pray. Gracious God, we cast our minds back to the cross. Your son going through extreme suffering, alienation, abuse, pain, and you being alongside him, watching all that pan out, going through your pain as well. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness won. We don't fully understand it all, but we're so grateful. Jesus, sustain us day by day. May what we eat and drink here today be symbolic of what by your Spirit you pour into our lives. The giftedness, the passion, the power, and the love. And Lord, keep our hope kindled. Help us to know that As good as things can be on this world as we experience it, it will be so much better. It will be perfected. Help us to keep our eyes on that as we walk through life together. In Jesus' name, amen. Gracious God, we who are different in our point of view, our understanding of you, our role, our national origin, our gender, in every way, help us to be one body of Christ as we eat from your table together. Help us, we pray, to lean into you and into each other when we go through difficult stuff. Enable and empower us to nurture each other, to see each other as people to encourage, to help along, and to do life together with. And help us to faithfully serve you in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As incongruent as it sometimes seems, I think the cross does belong. A Star Wars picture. Who's into Star Wars here? It's got a picture of little Anakin, who's the main person, and he grows up to become Darth Vader. And Anakin is just there, and on the wall, the shadow is Darth Vader. The shadow of the cross hangs over Advent. So we wait. Waiting, waiting, waiting. Mary waited too. There's a wonderful card down there, which is Mary on the phone saying, presumably to a friend, "I've tested positive." And Mary, when she was waiting, went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist at that stage, and she spoke or sung the song. And we call it the Magnificat. It goes like this: "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. He looked with favor on a lowly servant." To us, that doesn't sound quite such a radical statement. But consider this, and I've mentioned this before. The prevailing worldview in those days was that poverty meant you and or your family was bad. They lived in a very moral universe. Wealth signaled God's blessing on your virtue. Poverty was God's disapproval of your character or your family's. And this thing has happened to a girl. Again, not such a radical thing for us, but in those days the Pharisees had this famous prayer, "Thank you, Lord, that you did not make me a Gentile, a dog, or a woman." You get a feel for your place in the scheme of things from a prayer like that, don't you? Women weren't even second-class citizens. And the incarnation, making her clearly pregnant before she was married, that wasn't going to be an easy path to walk either. And she says, "He has done great things for me." And I imagine a lot of us will be saying, "Yeah, I've got enough great things, thanks," to live with the shame and everything that's going to go with that. And we tended over the years to imagine her as an oil painting. But I doubt she was. Then you see her looking like the star of a soap ad with Jesus, who's sort of fragrant, he's so clean. I reckon something more like that, maybe. This is a peasant. Peasants don't have great skin. It just doesn't go with it. He lifted up the lowly and the hungry. Mary, her cousin John the Baptist, Elizabeth's boy. There's this really interesting thing in here in Luke 3. In the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee and his brother Philip ruler of the region of somewhere and somewhere, and I and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Who is the most famous person on that list? It's John the Baptist, isn't it? Anyone heard of Licinius? He was a big wheel back in the day. Emperor Tiberius, well, if you're a classical scholar, maybe you have. He did a few things. But actually, in the list of that great and the good, the towering figure is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the peasant, wandering around the wilderness. Truly the last of first. God flips our social structures on their ear. And here's Jesus. He looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled." Well, that's Mary and John and Elizabeth. Blessed are the lowly. The Magnificat, the song, I think of as being a giant two-fingered salute to the great and the good. The powerful are brought down, the proud are scattered, the last are first, and the first are last, and God's favoritism is to the rich? No, it's to the poor. And she says this, "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants." So what's that all about? We dig back into the Old Testament. The call of Abraham in Genesis 12, and God says to Abraham, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you." Then we come to this in Isaiah. "I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation might reach out to the end of the earth." It's not going to stop at the borders of Israel. It's going to go everywhere. Now, I think a lot of the Jewish folk in those days thought that all this was about, actually, the Romans would go and the Jews would become the new Romans. They'd become the dominant culture. No. Humble, poor, probably sometimes hungry Mary glimpsed the larger purpose of God. Not just to save one people, but to save all people, including us. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry, the last will be first, and God favors the poor. Four big pillars of the Christian gospel. Who said them first? Jesus? No. Mary. The gospel is not just about sin and forgiveness. It's about reconciliation. It's about God's love for and lifting up and heart for the poor. Proclaim first by a teenage peasant girl. This Magnificat is not a nice thing sung by robed choristers once a year. It's a radical, radical statement of the gospel that Jesus brought to turn things upside down and to bring all people to be God's people. And you know, I look at this text, and Mary would be poorer than any of us. Mary would be less educated than any of us. Mary is a person on the margins, the modern equivalent of a solo mum that God did great things through, who has an exalted place in the story of the salvation of all of us. And I guess the question that that has left me with, that I want to share with you, is who could he bless through you? Who could he bless through me? There'll be people in our lives that we have a connection with, whether Christian or not, that we can be the hands and feet and love of Jesus for them this year. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all of the people that are part of your story, most of whom we will never hear of. All the people that were faithful, the Marys that took your message, that took your heart, your love for your world, and gave it arms and legs, hands and feet. Lord, help us to be those people in our lives, in our communities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen.